You know, one thing that strengthens your big ego is to always be right. You ever met a person that they're always right? And I have to watch myself around. You know, as you get older, you think because you've experienced things that you kind of know it all and you know a lot of things, but that's not true. It's your ego getting bigger and bigger. And the thing that feeds your ego is the fact that you think you're always right. And in order for you to be right, somebody else has to be wrong. Let me just read you something about your ego. And I'm preaching to myself as well. This is how bad the ego is. This is how bad the ego is. For you to be right, of course, you need someone else to be wrong. I'm taking this from a book that I got. And so the ego loves to make wrong in order for it to make right, to be right. In other words, you need to make others wrong in order to get a stronger sense of who you are. Not only a person, but also a situation can be made wrong through complaining and reactivity, which always implies that this should not be happening. So your ego, you go around, and especially Adventists, we have this truth, we have this message. We got this message, and we always want to be right. And we could always pull out a scripture or two to prove that we're right. But then the ego comes in. The ego takes everything personally. Emotion arises, defensiveness, perhaps even aggression. Defending our truth. You know, getting personal about what we believe in. But in reality, truth needs no defense. What you're really defending is yourself. And ego also confuses opinions and viewpoints with facts. These egos is something that we're going to have to get control of. This belief that I am right and you are wrong is what... But if the belief that I'm right and you're wrong is one of the ways in which the ego strengthens itself, if making yourself right and others wrong is a mental dysfunction that perpetuates separation and conflict between human beings, does that mean there is no such thing as right or wrong behavior, action, or belief? The ego. But Jesus says clearly in his word that I am the way, the truth, and the life. And these are some of the most powerful and direct pointers to the truth. And we must understand them. We must submit ourselves, our egos, to Christ. And that's what Paul brings out in these earthen vessels when one begins to think that he's more than just our earthen vessel. When you're not focused on the contents inside of the vessel, that gospel truth that God gave you. And sometimes God has to allow that vessel to break and crack open just to humble ourselves. This treasure in these earthen vessels, these potted baked clay pots that Paul uses as a metaphor. But here he tells us, don't lose heart. Verse 16, even though our outward man is perishing, he says, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. And Paul admits that we will be persecuted. We will be persecuted. We'll be under pressure. And here it is in the Word of God. It says in verse 8, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. Hard pressed. This first section of the eighth verse is saturated with the idea of pressure. There's an idea of trouble pressing on every side of us. On both sides, there's pressure from our children. Come on, somebody. There's pressure from that car payment, our house payment, our jobs, our spouses, our churches, our expectations, our emotions, and so on. He says, we will be hard-pressed. Yes, yes. On every side, yet not crushed. In light of this brittle and fragile makeup of this pot we're in, pressure is the worst thing to deal with. And the slightest pressure could destroy us because we fracture so easy. I've never seen people so uptight now. Even on the road, I just quit looking at people now because people are so uptight. They're so angry. There's pressure indeed on every side of us. There's pressure on the Christian. We are certainly troubled on every side. We are hard pressed, but thank God that this little clay pot has not been crushed. Oh, it'll take a little crack or two, but it's not crushed, Paul says. It's not what the pot is made of that prevents it from being crushed to a fine powder, but rather what's inside the pot. Now, if the pot were empty, it could be shattered by just the slightest content. But there's something in this clay pot that absorbs the shock and dissipates the force evenly. It's the strength of him that is inside of us that keeps us from being crushed. Persecuted, verse 9, but not forsaken. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Perplexed, not in despair. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's our good shepherd. We must walk by faith, Paul says, and not by sight, or we'll be persecuted. We will have to travel along the way that God has laid out for us. There will be those who systematically try to harass us. They will organize and take every opportunity to oppress us. And when we try to do our best to avoid any type of conflict and live peaceably, they still will raise all sorts of trouble in our lives. Some folk are just, they get mad because you're trying to live right. It's the spirit in them that gets upset. But Paul says we will not be forsaken. The good shepherd will not leave nor forsake us. Jesus says, lo, I am with you until the end of the world. Oh, we'll be knocked down, but we won't be knocked out. We'll be struck down, but not destroyed. And sometimes being knocked down is not a bad thing. Sometimes we forget that we're just mere clay. Sometimes we may have to go to jail to be saved. And my prayer is, Lord, if I have to sit behind bars to save me, send me there. Somehow the man in jail, as like the life of Paul, sees his need to find Jesus. Whole lot of folk in jail have found the Lord. They didn't see the need when they were free. But now that they're in jail, oh, they're seeking Jesus now. So it's okay to be knocked down. But just worry about being knocked out. It's a difference, and some of you boxers in here know that. Jesus puts it this way: and do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And Paul wraps it up with, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Are eternal. Let's keep our eyes on the prize. Let's set our affections on things above and not the things of this earth. You know, you just have to be a little crazy to have that kind of faith. You do. To believe in something that you can't see. The world doesn't understand that. We have to be a little crazy. To look beyond the things that nowadays you can't even believe what you see. We were in our class this morning, our baptismal class. We were talking about the state of the dead and how Satan has a way of revealing himself to us, even those who have died. We were reading about a story whose wife, his wife had died, and the wife came back to visit this particular man at night. And would visit him every night until the man found out what the gospel, what the Bible says about death. So when you see things, sometimes we see things we can't believe that are not true. And Satan will send us things that are not true. And that's why faith does not depend on what we see. It doesn't depend on how we feel. Paul says the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Take our earthly eyes off of this earth and begin to look at glory, think about eternal things. We're only living for a short while, 70. Set your mind on eternal things and not the things of this earth. We have this treasure, this precious gift from God, this gospel that he has given us, housed in this earthly vessel, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Oh yes, we'll be hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. God gets his glory from a broken people. That's the only way God can receive his glory, is from a broken and contrite heart. When we stand out of the way, and let him shine through these old cracks in this vessel, God can be glorified. Can you say amen to that? As we conclude, my prayer as we begin our nomination process is that you would pray and ask God to use you as a vessel. Have the faith to step out and believe that God can use you, just like those cigarette butts I talked about. Man uses to create a protection for these pipes. God can use anybody. He takes our toxic lives, our sinful lives, and he recreates them, and he uses them for his benefit and for his glory. Praise God. As you go into this season of prayer, I want you to bow your heads right now. And as we think about this upcoming year, the new officers that will be elected, I want you to pray in your heart for our nominating committee, those who have been chosen to do a sacred work. These individuals will prayerfully go about choosing the servants, the disciples that will serve in the next coming year. And it may not be a person who you think is good enough to serve. Bow your heads with me. You might say, why are you choosing that person? But let God have his way. He uses these vessels, these cracked vessels. He doesn't use a person that looks like gold and silver all the time. That's perfect, perfectly shaped. He uses old cracked clay pots like us. Why? So he can be glorified, not us. God's got to get the glory. He's got to be seen through us. Egos have to be laid down. He wants you broken and bruised. Because many times that's the only way he can stand out. He knows what you're going through. He knows the problems that you're having right now. He understands. But believe me, it's a setup. He's setting you up for eternity. And I will say that if you're not going through a trouble, a trial, a tribulation, some kind of difficulty on this earth, I would go so far as to say, you can't call yourself a Christian. The minute you call yourself a Christian and give yourself to Jesus, you will suffer persecution. You will have problems on your job. You will be talked about because you can't go to the Friday night party and drink a little wine. But thank God. Paul says, don't lose heart. Don't lose heart, because this is just a temporary affliction, he says. You'll only be talked about so long. Everybody's going to have to go through some stripes and some whipping and some persecution in order for Jesus to shine through and be glorified. Somebody's going through something today. I don't know whether it's a job or whether it's with your spouse or with your auntie, your cousin, your mother, your father. Somebody is going through some difficulty, and I'm speaking to them today. I'm speaking to you today, but I'm telling you, it's a setup. God is going to be glorified in your affliction. I want you to bow your head to me, because that person is here today. God is trying to be glorified. He's trying to get the glory through your affliction. He don't want you to come out of this. Your loss of job, your illness, that trouble in your home, he's trying to humble you so he can be glorified. We're just empty cracked vessels. He wants us to realize that we're nothing without Him. God said He would be with you. He takes us through these difficulties. So two things. So we can bless others. Your persecution and your trials somehow bless other people. When they hear your testimony of what you're going through, they're blessed and God is glorified. Sometimes we're not allowing that to happen. So I say my prayer to myself is, Lord, let me go through it. Oh, it's not going to be easy, but let me go through it. Because heaven is cheap enough. It's just a temporary affliction. So keep your eyes on things above and not the things of this earth. Take your affections and your feelings, your emotions out of this world. Subdue your ego. You're not always right. You're wrong sometimes. Charles Barkley wrote a book, and the name of it is, I May Be Wrong, But I Doubt It. You're wrong a lot. Brothers, subdue your ego. Quit strengthening it by telling everybody you're right and they're wrong. If I'm speaking to you today, if you're going through some kind of difficulty, take heart, my brother, my sister, take heart. Don't get discouraged. This is just a temporary affliction. When you compare it to eternity, we're talking eternity. Everlasting, no ending. Your little life, this little short span you're going to stay here is nothing compared to that. Take it. Because in the end, oh, I want to hear His voice. I want to hear that voice, that melodious voice of Jesus when He tells me, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done. Well done. Well done. I want to hear that voice. And if you want to hear that voice, would you stand with me? Would you just acknowledge that you would love to hear that voice? Wouldn't you love to hear that voice? Keep your head bowed. You just want to hear that melodious voice of Jesus. Say, well done. Stand with me. Let's pray. Father God, somebody's going through some things in this auditorium, Father. But Lord, we know through the power of your word, Lord, that you may need to be glorified somehow. And you're allowing them to go through this, Lord. I say break them, Lord. Break them, Lord. And let your name be glorified. Let the treasure be known, not the vessel. To see those things which are invisible and focus on the eternal, Father. I thank you for those who are here, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that they've been strong enough to come down and admit their frailties, Father. Is there one more today who would like to come down? like to say, Lord, I'm going through some things, but I need you. If you'd like for the prayer warriors to pray for you, come on down to the front. Come on down to the front. We'll offer prayer with you. Everything is not right at home. Everything is not right on your job. But somehow, God has allowed that to happen just so he can get the glory. Through your light affliction, through your light affliction, through your temporary light affliction, which won't last forever, and is so short compared to eternity. God, we want you to get the glory today. We want you to get all the praise and all the honor. So push us aside, Lord. Move us out of the way, Jesus. We want to see this precious treasure that is within us. The only thing that keeps us stable and keeps our minds on track, Lord, is that treasure that is within us. Pray, Lord, that you shine through all the difficulties and trials in our lives, Father. You promised us that we will not be knocked down. We will not be crushed. Or we'll be knocked down, but we won't be knocked out, Lord. Our problems on this earth will soon end. With the soon coming of Jesus. And Lord, we want to be ready when you come. Lord, it's been evident this last week that we don't know when our hour will be. We don't know when our hour will be, Father. We don't know if this is the last day we're going to live. This life is just a fleeting moment. Just like a vapor. But Lord, when that day happens, we want to be ready. We want to be ready to see Jesus and see him in peace. So Lord, now forgive us for where we failed you, Lord. Forgive us where our egos have gotten in the way. Forgive us, Jesus. Help us to be able to endure these hardships, these temporary hardships, Father, on this earth. Oh, because it'll be worth it all one day when we see your face, when we hear your peaceful voice. It'll be worth it all. Living with you throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity in perfect health and perfect state of mind. Hallelujah. Now may we turn our eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face. May the things of this earth grow strangely dim, Lord. In the light of his glory and grace. Father God, we thank you again. We thank you. We say hallelujah. Thank you for coming into this sanctuary today, filling this place with your spirit, Lord. Filling our hearts with your presence. Giving us the courage, Lord, to take on another week ahead of us. Because we don't know what's going to happen, Lord. We need to take you with us. Go with us, Jesus. Stand before us. Stand beside us. Behind us, up underneath us. And Lord, again, I say, when you come, save us. Save us, Jesus, I say. Save us, Lord. Save us, Jesus. Save us, Lord. Save us when you come, Lord. Save us. Save our souls, Lord, when you come. We want to be saved. We've had enough of this life, Lord. Enough of this life. Save us when you come. We'll give you all the praise that you deserve and all the glory that you deserve. And Lord, if there's one more here, Lord, is your spirit still speaking now? If there's one more here that recognizes their need for you, let them walk down this aisle today, Father. Church, pray. Holy Spirit, this is your time. This is your time. Move me out of the way. This is your time, Spirit. Speak to the heart, Father, that's in the valley of decision. It's trying to make decisions now. Is it worth it? Yes, it's worth it. Bible says today is the day of salvation. Don't wait till tomorrow. Let's just tarry just a little while longer while the Spirit is here.